Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours. Thank you so much for calling in today for our Saturday conference call. Because the call got cut off a little bit short last time and I didn't get to answer hardly anybody's question, I think one or two, I decided to make this entire phone call a Q&A conference call so you can get a lot of questions in, a lot of answers in. But before we get started with the questions, I wanted to give you an update on what's going on here in Panama. I sent out an email with a little article about the update on COVID cases, and the numbers were running at about 500, 600 a day in the whole country of people that tested positive. Keep in mind, many of those had no symptoms at all, didn't even know. But they're just testing a lot of people, whether they have symptoms or not. So the numbers were running at about 600, and then all of a sudden, whenever we had that first week in November where we had our Independence Day celebrations, just a lot of holidays, there was a lot of families going to the beaches, a lot of families having parties, all of a sudden the numbers shot up to about 1,000 a day in the testing that they were doing. But it's good that now that that holiday season is over, the numbers have started coming back down to, I think it was 800 day before yesterday, 700 yesterday, and it'll probably be about 600 today. So there was just that little spike because of the holiday season, and I knew that was probably what it was. We do have another really big holiday on November 28th. It's another Independence Day celebration. The governments and banks will be shut down. It'll be another time for parties. So we'll probably see another spike right around November 28th. But then I think things are going to settle back down and we'll keep our numbers going down. They're being, it's strict here in Panama. You do have to wear a mask if you're out in public or when you go in stores, you have to wear a mask. They take your temperature. They squirt some hand gel on your hands. And you have to step in a disinfectant before you go into the store. So they're taking a lot of biosecurity measures to keep the numbers down, keep people safe, and most importantly, to keep the number of people that are in the hospital that get so sick they have to go to hospital. That number's coming way, way down, and the number of deaths is coming way down. I think for a while there, we were having about 17 to 20 people a day were dying, and the ones I saw yesterday were like four. So whatever they're doing, it's working. People don't really complain about it very much. I think the expats complain more than anybody because they don't want to wear a mask. But for the most part, everybody's cooperating, and it's really working on keeping it safe here in Panama. Also, November is still part of our rainy season, but this November we're getting a lot more rain than we normally do. Just last week, there was Hurricane Eta that hit Nicaragua and Honduras north of us. It's a Category 4 hurricane that hit that area. A lot of devastation. We don't get hurricanes here in Panama, but we did get a lot of rain, a tremendous amount of rain that caused quite a bit of damage in the Cerro Punto, Bambito, and some in the Volcan area. We just got a lot of rain. I think it was like 25, 30 inches of rain that we had in just 1 week. And then we had one day yesterday of no rain and sunshine. It was beautiful. But now there's another hurricane that's heading right to Nicaragua and Honduras again. And it's supposed to hit as a Category 4 hurricane. I believe it's called Iota. And we're getting, they say for the next 3 or 4 days here in Panama, we're going to get a lot of rain. Not the high winds or anything, we're just going to get a lot of rain. But this is going into land that's already very, very saturated from all the rain that we got last week. So everybody's being extra, extra careful because of this really unusual 2 hurricanes back to back and lots of rain. And we're just being safe. It's been really heartwarming to see how the community, the government has really jumped right in to help everybody. The community's helped right in. Volunteer organizations all over the country, they did not just the ones that were in that area, have pitched in with financial donations and clothes and food and blankets and dog food and cat food because dogs and cats got affected by all of this also. So it's been very heartwarming to see how everyone's just jumped in together to help everybody in this really unusual situation. I've never seen anything like this in the whole time that I've lived in Panama, the kind of weather that we've had. But it's so heartwarming to see how everyone's just pitched in to help the people that really, really needed help. Some people lost their homes. I think there's still about 17 people missing, and they're feared dead because of landslides that happened over in Cerro Punta. But their search and rescue teams, the U.S. government has sent in 3 helicopters and search and rescue people to help in the rescue efforts. So everybody's doing everything they can to try to help the people that are in need here. So that's an update on what's going on here in Panama. And the next thing I'm going to do is remind you of, if you decide you want to come to Panama, there's a website called visitpanama.com, and then they have a little thing you can click on that says guidelines, and it lets you know what the guidelines are if you're going to come into Panama and also while you're in Panama. It hasn't been updated in a while, so all the information on there is current, but if there are any changes later on, then that's where you could look. So the current requirements when you come into Panama is that you have to present a negative COVID test, and it has to be a PCR or an antigen test, and that test can't be more than 48 hours whenever you arrive. If it is older than 48 hours, then they will do testing at Tacoma International Airport for people that are coming in. It's a rapid test. It takes about 15 minutes to get your results, and it costs $50. The other thing that they require, and you can find it on that visitpanama.com, I think it's /guidelines, is there's a digital form that you have to fill out. You can't fill it out until 4 days before you come to Panama, but it lets the government know where you're planning to go, how long you're planning to stay, how they can get in touch with you if they need to. It's used for part of the contract tracing, just in case they discover that someone that was on your flight tested positive, then they'll probably contact you to let you know that you were on a flight with someone that tested positive, and just monitor your health, make sure you don't get a temperature or you don't start feeling bad. So that's the main purpose of that. So without further ado, let's get to some questions. Our first one is our regular Freeland. How are you today?
Good, good. Sorry to hear about all that rain. You're in our prayers.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I talked to Melissa last week, and I was asking her how you were doing and everything, but she said you were doing all right. Now I told her if she talked to you, to give her our best, you know.
Oh, yeah. I talked to her 2 or 3 times a day.
Yep. Anyway, I got 2 questions. What do you hear about the Friendly Nations visa lately?
The latest that I heard from 2 different attorneys that I work with is that a group of attorneys have requested a meeting with the immigration director, and the immigration director hasn't given them a date on when that meeting's going to be, but they did say that it should be before the end of the year. And they've said they won't make any changes. When and if they make any changes, they wouldn't happen until next year. It didn't say January or July or September. They didn't say when. We just know that nothing's going to happen this year, and nothing's going to happen until they have that meeting with the immigration attorney. So that's hopeful. And I think the immigration attorneys are going to be able to justify that so many people, they've sold their house, they've sold half of everything they own, they're planning to move here, but they just couldn't get here because of the pandemic. And they planned on getting that Friendly Nation visa, so they need to wait until the pandemic's over, or at least give people a year to get moved here before they make any kind of changes. That's what they're hoping to accomplish with that meeting. As soon as I know more, of course, I'll let all of you know what I find out.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Well, and one more thing. I see you had one of your emails talked about moving to Panama, moving your stuff down there. When you get in the Pensionado visa or a Friendly Nation visa, is there a thing where you can buy a car every 2 years and it's tax-free, something like that? How does that work?
No, with the Pensionado visa, it says you can ship a car in every 2 years if you want to. But we really, really, really do not recommend that you ship in cars from North America to come to Panama. It's better to buy a car right here. Now, part of your pensionado visa is they waive a lot of the fees for buying a car here in Panama. So really makes more sense, and it's much cheaper to buy a car right here than you don't have any kind of transportation cost. And just because they waive the customs fees doesn't mean they're going to waive the cost to get the car here. It's going to cost about $5,000 to ship a car here. So you save the $5,000 and buy it here in Panama instead. Much better.
Right. And I'm really more, not really, because I plan on buying a car down there that's actually in Panama, but I'm really thinking more of a boat. I'm looking to maybe buy a trailerable boat and have it
yep.
shipped down. And so
you can get one of those right here too. They'll even custom build a boat for you here. I think you might have seen the video that we did recently of the couple in Bocas del Toro, and they had a custom boat built. They had thought about shipping one down from Florida, but they could have a custom built made with their exact specifications and all the bells and whistles that they wanted here in Panama for much cheaper than it would have cost to have one shipped down from Florida. So when you get ready to get a boat, I'll put you in touch with them and they can give you their boat maker's information. Thanks for your questions, Freeland. Next caller is area code 708.
Hi, Jackie. This is Mike. How are you?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling in today.
Well, thank you for having this call. I've got a couple of stupid questions. I we're coming down probably the end of December. And we're going to be down for about 2 months. And rather than renting a car for 2 months at $50 a day, my thought is to buy a vehicle. And if we if something happens, you know, and we have to come back, figure out a way to store it down there or sell it. Because you'd probably be better off. I'm not going to buy new. I'd probably be better off to, if I lost $2,000 on the car, it's better than paying $3,000 in rent. Is there somebody
exactly,
that I,
yeah. It would is, be is much there, better. Cars, household goods, all of those things, it's better not to ship them because it's quite
right.
expensive to ship it. You risk that it could get damaged, but it's just better to buy it all here in Panama.
Well, that's absolutely my plan. But what I would like to do is, and I don't know if, the people that you have recommendations for with cars, I'd like to see about trying to buy a car even before getting down there. You know, if I have an inspection done.
Yeah, and we have something called the Online Panama Relocation Guide. So if you go to PanamaRelocationTours.com, and if you click in that, then it has information there on buying a car, and we have some recommendations for car brokers. You just let them know kind of what you're looking for and how much you want to spend and what your specifications are, and they will help you find a car. Also, if you say, oh, I want to get an Acura, and they say, no, you really don't want to get an Acura here in Panama, you know, they'll tell you what not to get also, just to keep you safe.
Yeah, I already know what I want to get. I want to get a Hilux. And
that's the best truck to get here. They're readily available, and they can certainly help you with that. Now, if you say it has to be red with a beige interior and I want dualies on the back, that might be harder. But if you just say you want to get the Hilux, then you won't have any problem at all. But we have those recommendations in our Online Panama Relocation Guide. Next question is area code 803.
Good afternoon, Jackie. This is Rick.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for calling in today.
Two quick things, Jackie. I want to make reference to the tour guide book you were talking so much about last week. It's a godsend. I looked at the price, and I said, I don't want to pay $500 for a book, but it's worth its weight in gold. So I appreciate you on that.
It's a lot more than a book. Yep.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's very informative, and I encourage everybody who hadn't gotten one to get one. It's very helpful. My question today, Jackie, is about the electronic affidavit. I heard you mention it a little bit a while ago. It seems to me on the Facebook family forum that people are having a lot of difficulty with that and the passwords and retrieving it. And one example, some guy didn't know he could get on a plane until 15 minutes before takeoff. What are you hearing? How can I offset that problem?
So what I've heard from different people and from different people that I've talked to is that they don't put on there that you should. It's better to use a Chrome browser whenever you're filling out that form. If you use a Firefox browser, you're going to have a lot of problems, or if you use any of the other browsers. So if you use a Chrome browser, then you shouldn't have any problems. The other thing that you should know is that whenever you fill out the form, you don't get instant results. It's usually going to take 24 hours to get your results and for them to send you the actual affidavit. So you don't want to wait until an hour before your flight or 2 hours before your flight. They recommend 4 days before your flight that you fill that form out, because it might take 24 hours to get the results. But if you use Chrome, then you won't have any problems. If you use Firefox or Safari or any of those other things, then a lot of people have them problems. But people who use Chrome don't have any problems at all.
Thank you for the information on that. And where can I get the actual affidavit itself and the instructions on how to fill it out?
If you go to get the affidavit that you have to fill out before you get on the plane to come to Panama, 4 days before you come on the plane, if you go to visitpanama.com and then click on guidelines, and there's a link to that affidavit right there along with instructions. There's also an email and a phone number that you can call if you have any kind of problems. There's someone that will hold your hand and walk you through it.
Well, no, again, visit Panama what now?
Visitpanama.com, and then just click on guidelines. Guidelines.
And lastly, I'm a retired military, and I heard you talk earlier about two big groups in Boquete that I meet regularly. Is there any way I can get a link or a point of contact on that? I'd sure like to reach out and talk to those guys.
If you get on Facebook and you go to Boquete Veterans Outreach, that's a really big group that's very active.
Boquete Veterans Outreach?
Veterans Outreach, right. The other thing is, you know, we have an article about veterans' medical benefits in Panama, and that has a link to all of the veteran service officers that are here in Panama. It has their email and their phone number. So you can contact any one of the veteran service officers, and then they're throughout the country, Panama City, Santiago, David, other places, and they can let you know how to get in touch with the groups that are in whichever area it is that you're interested in. I know there's some in the Zora Peninsula. There's some in the Coronado area. There's some in Panama City. They also have an annual party. So if you just reach out to those VSO officers, then they can certainly help you. Thanks for your question. By the way, for those of you that might have called in a little bit late and missed the first couple minutes of the call, so this Saturday, all it is question and answers. You ask questions, and I'm going to answer them. If you do have a question for me, all you need to do is press *6 on your phone, and that will put you in line to ask your question. We have quite a few people in line, and I'm just taking them first come, first serve. So you might have to wait a little while before your questions, it gets to your turn to ask a question. Meanwhile, you can listen to all the other questions and answers, and it'll be educational. Next caller is area code 843.
Hi, Jackie. Mary here. Thank you for all you do. My original question was about the digital registry, but you cleared that up. My next question is, are the Facebook groups listed in the guide?
No.
No. Do you happen to know about David Facebook group?
Gringos and David.
Gringos and David. You're awesome. Okay, and the last question, the car. I didn't even think of this until that guy said that. What a great idea to just buy an inexpensive car, because I'll be there for about 3 months. But then what I do with it. Will the person that I bought it from just take it back and sell it for me, or can I store
it? Absolutely, yeah. The person that you bought it from, yeah, it doesn't make sense to rent a car and pay $800 a month if you're going to be here 3 or 4 months, because you can buy a car for $4,000 or $5,000 and then turn right around and sell it for $4,000 or $5,000 or maybe even $6,000 whenever you leave. So therefore, you had transportation. It didn't cost you anything. But we do have recommendations in our guide for several different car brokers that can help you find that car, and then that car broker can get it resold for you right away.
Okay, very good. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. Next caller is area code 951.
Hi, Jackie. This is Rick from California. How much time do you give us if we're on the backup list before something becomes available? How much time will you know?
If you're on the backup list, we'll let you know 40 days in advance that we have an opening.
Okay. And then the other question is, I've traveled before, but, you know, I've never gotten the travel insurance. I didn't think anything about it. But now if we test positive, like if we, you know, make arrangements to fly there and everything, and we go and get our tests 48 hours before, and what if we test positive or someone, you know, one of the group tests positive?
I think that because of the pandemic, it's more important than ever to get traveler's insurance. And you'll be glad to know that today I started working on an article about buying traveler's insurance, and I'll link to a lot of the different websites. There's some that are just for the United States, some that are just for Canada, some that are better for Europe. I'm working on that article, and I hope to have it ready by Monday with some recommendations. And these, not all travel insurance companies cover COVID-related expenses, but some of them do. So I'm going to have that information on the website on this new article I'm writing.
Aren't you right on time? That's good. Okay, so just one more question. I have kids in their 20s, one in the teens, but now I understand this is mostly for retirees, but what if, you know, they wanted to come with me, or some of them wanted to come with me, and is there...
Oh, that's fine. You know, it's not just for retirees. We have people with young children that aren't even in school yet that come here, people with babies, people that come here pregnant, going to have a baby in Panama. So it's moving to Panama is for all different ages. We have a lot of international schools throughout the country. We have a lot of people that do homeschooling throughout the country, and people in their teens and 20s that move here with or without their parents, that either set up a business, have some kind of online business, or some of them are able to find a job. So, yeah, your teenagers and your 20-year-old, they can come here too.
Well, that's what I'm getting at as far as work. I thought that they didn't allow us to work there unless we're Panamanian.
Well, they don't allow, if you have a pensionado visa, you're not allowed to work in Panama, but they have other visas that are available that do allow foreigners to work. It's called, right now, the best visa for that is called the Friendly Nation visa, and you don't have to prove any kind of income to get it like you do with a pensionado visa. And with that visa, you can get a work permit so that you can work. You should know that there's certain professions that are protected professions that are only for Panamanians. Things like a doctor, a nurse, an architect, engineers. So there's certain jobs that only a Panamanian can do. But there's many, many jobs that anybody can do, foreigners can do. If you're working for a multinational company here in Panama, and there's hundreds, I think 185 multinational companies like Procter & Gamble and things like that, then your salary is going to be equivalent to what it would be in North America. But if you just go to work for like a hardware store in Panama, your pay is going to be really, really, really low. So if you want to make more money, you're either going to have to go to work. The best bet would be to go to work for a multinational company. And I do have a whole article on my website. If you go to PanamaRelocationTours.com and you click on the little spyglass thing for search and type in get a job, and I have an article with a list of some of the multinational companies and information on how to get a job in Panama. Next caller is area code 954.
Hey, Jackie, this is Susan, and Doe will be on your tour the beginning of January next year. My
excellent
key question, we managed to make it. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
As you opened it, we were 2 hours and we were lucky to get in. But in any case, mm-hmm. Two questions. As far as the mask and its difficulty to determine that now, do you think that they will still be required on your tour? And the second question, how will the damage, the flood damage, affect your tour going through the country?
So first of all, I think that they'll absolutely still be requiring that there's a mask worn anytime you're in public or on the bus or outside anywhere. I think it'll still be required in January. It would take a miracle for something to change that between now and then. The flood damage is in an area that sometimes we go to Cerro Punta, but we just won't go there. We won't go to Cerro Punta. It's not really going to affect it. Cerro Punta is a beautiful place. It's where 85% of the vegetables are grown, so a lot of vegetable crops were damaged because of this flooding. But it's not really a place that most people would want to move to. I've had two people in 11 years that have moved to Cerro Punta. So I really try to focus on the areas that people are most likely to want to go to. We'll definitely go to Vulcan and show you a rental while we're in Vulcan, so you'll get to see that area.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Will they still need COVID testing?
As far as I know, yes, they're still going to require COVID testing. I don't think anything is going to change on the requirements between now and January. If it does, you will, of course, as soon as there's any kind of change here in Panama, I send out an email to everybody right away to let you know. And anybody that signed up for a tour will send out a special notification for you also about any changes. But as far as I know right now, they're going to require a negative COVID test. It has to be a PCR or an antigen test that's not older than 48 hours old. And if it is older than that, you'll be required to retest once you get into the airport in Panama. Next question is from Malcolm or Marsh. Yeah, I think Malcolm.
Yeah, thanks, Jackie. I've got two questions. The first question is, I've got dual nationality with USA and the UK. To get the pensionado visa, is it easier to enter from one nationality, or is it both the same? Is there no difference?
There's no difference. I would suggest that you use the passport that you get your pension from. If you get it from both countries, then it really doesn't matter.
Well, I do get it from both countries, and I also passed the $1,000. My second question is, my wife was born in the Panama zone. Does that alter the status for the deep visa? Is it any easier?
Yes, if she has her passport from Panama, then she can go straight to citizenship. She won't need to get a visa.
No, but if she's got an American passport because she was born in the Panama zone when it belonged to the USA or it was leased by the USA, does that alter her visa application?
For her, it does. For your wife, she'll be able to get a citizenship and a Panama passport. She won't have to get a pensionado visa. And if she's at least 55 years old, then she'll still get all of the pensionado discounts.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next caller is Garland. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey,
I think I read that you're coming down here in a boat. Is that right?
We ain't got our boat yet, and I'll be interested in hearing about your boat builder you're talking about a little bit earlier.
Okay. Shoot me an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours, and I'll put you in touch with a couple that had their boat built. She showed me pictures of it. It's fantastic.
Will do. But in the meantime, we'll be moving to we got a place in Bogos del Toro in January. So I heard the road washed out going from David over there. Have you heard any updates on how that's going to get repaired or what they're thinking about doing or how you want to get there now other than going up through Costa Rica and back down?
So there's two ways to get there. You can either fly to Bocas del Toro from Panama City on Air Panama, and soon there'll be another airline flying there as well. The other one is there is another road, but it's not a very good road that'll get you that way. the main road that goes from Gualaca over to Cherokee Grande and then to Almorete, that road has been completely washed out. I'm sure that they have it on their agenda to get it fixed as fast as possible because that's the main road that they use to deliver groceries to that area and deliver beer and whiskey and rum and all those other things to that area. It's the main transportation route for buses that are taking people to or from the Bocas area. I don't know what the schedule is. I don't know that it'll be done by January, but I'm sure that it's on the schedule. Next caller is Regina.
Hey, Jackie, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you. I just want to appreciate all that you're doing to give us all of this great information. So my question is, approximately what is the total cost that I can expect to pay when I'm preparing to move there, approximately?
So a lot of it depends on which kind of visa that you're going to get. Would you get the Pensionado visa, the Friendly Nation visa?
The Friendly Nations visa.
So the Friendly Nations visa, if you use one of the attorneys that we recommend, your attorney fees are going to be approximately $1,700 to $2,000, just on attorney fees.
Okay.
You'll pay about another $1,000 to $1,100 for corporation. There's government fees that are $1,050. And so all those fees combined are going to include your temporary visa, your permanent visa, multi-entry stamp, and your cedula. So those are the main things that you're going to need. If you want to get a work permit on top of it, it's an extra $500. In addition to that, with the Friendly Nation visa, you do have to open up a Panama bank account, and you have to deposit $5,000. And then you get a letter from the bank that says they opened up an account, they got $5,000 here, and that's submitted along with you getting a visa. The day you get your temporary visa, you can start spending that money. So that money doesn't have to stay in the account. It's your money to spend as you want to, but those are going to be your big fees for the visa.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Next caller is area code 724.
Hi, Jackie. This is Ed from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I appreciate you taking my call. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, Jackie. Well, my question's concerning the Pensionado visa. How does that work as far as my intentions would be to come down, first of all, maybe for like a month or two at a time, but to get the Pensionado visa, do you have to stay for so many months or basically a permanent resident, or how does that work?
So first of all, if you just want to come down for a month or two and check out Panama, you don't need to get any kind of a visa at all. With just your passport, you can actually stay in Panama up to 6 months if you're not driving. If you're driving, you can only drive for 90 days. And then if you do decide to get your residency visa, the Pensionado visa, once you get your visa, you're not required to live in Panama at all. They just require that you come back for a visit every 2 years. And they don't even define what is a visit. It could be 1 day, it could be 1 week, and you probably want to stay at least a couple of days. But so it's very, very, that's the great thing about the visas here in Panama. Some of the countries require that you can't leave the first 2 years that you get your visa. But in Panama, you don't have to stay.
Okay, and one other question. Now, as far as the Pensionado visa, I'm going to be 61 in another month, but my wife is 8 years younger than me. So if I get a Pensionado visa, now how would that work for her? Would she have to get something like a Friendly Nations, or I didn't know about her?
If she has no plans of working in Panama, she could just get a Pensionado visa as your dependent. And that would, then it would be the least expensive way to go.
Okay. So there's no, she doesn't have to be a certain age then for that.
Nope. Nope. As your dependent, she can get a Pensionado visa.
Okay. And one last one with the Pensionado visa, do you have to have put so much money in a bank account?
Nope. With a pension auto visa, there's no requirement to open up a Panama bank account. If you're going to live in Panama, I can tell you your life will be so much easier if you do get a Panama bank account. But there's absolutely no requirement to open up a Panama bank account with a pension auto visa.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking all my questions, Jackie. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Next caller, area code 762.
Yes. Hi, Jackie. This is Margaret. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, Margaret. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is my first time calling. I have listened to a lot of your playback, so I've been dreaming about Panama. My husband and I have not been there, and we're planning to go at some point here in the near future. But the reason I called is that healthcare is on our mind right now for a couple of reasons. One is that we just got some news from our dentist that between the two of us, we need about at least 5 crowns and some other dental work, and that's pretty expensive, especially if you go with a gold in the back. And then also, I am going to need eye muscle surgery in the near future. And I know you had eye surgery, so I was wanting to hear just a little bit about that. And then finally, on the health insurance, I've read enough on your website, so I have some information for me. But the question is, my husband is over 72, so he's Medicare age, and so he's a little concerned about that. And then I was concerned about there being some upper age limits on insurance for him. So if you could, part of the reason also is my health insurance just for myself would be over $800 a month going forward.
Yes.
So anyway, all of the, like I said, healthcare is on our mind. So I was hoping you could maybe speak to some of this for us.
So first of all, you should, if you could, do some medical tourism and get your dental work done here in Panama. It's about $495 for a crown, and if you need multiple crowns, you can, of course, get a discount. So that'll save you some money. If you need a root canal, they're about $300 for a root canal here. And then as far as eye surgery, I don't know that it's for gold. No, it might cost a little bit more for gold. Might even be less for gold. I don't know, but that's a ballpark figure. I'm sure it's significantly less than whatever you would be paying there. For eye surgery, I've had 3 different eye surgeries here in Panama. My eye surgeon is board certified in the United States. He studied in Europe and Panama and the U.S. He's excellent. People come from all over the world to see him with unique eye problems, and he's the best at fixing it. So his website is idrpanama.com, Dr. Augusta Orosa Mina, and he's excellent. So you could get something set up with him.
Okay.
And then, and by the way, I got that domain name and built that little website for him because when I met him, he had some weird domain name like A6 Eyes. And I said, what the heck is this? And I said, do you know anything about keywords? And he didn't know what I was talking about. I said, well, when people are going to search for something on the internet, they put in keywords like Eye Doctor Panama. And I said, to find an eye doctor in Panama. I said, guess what? That domain name's available. So I grabbed it for him, built a little website for him so it would look better than the website that he had before. But anyway, his email, his cell phone, office number, all those things are in there. He speaks perfect English, so you'd be in really good hands. I've had 3 eye surgeries with him, and I wouldn't trust anybody else. And then as far as health insurance for you or for your husband, to get international health insurance at over 70 or even over 65, it gets quite expensive to get international health insurance. But unless you plan to live in the United States part of the time, or maybe you just keep your Medicare there, you could just get insurance only for Panama. And while we were talking, I pulled up this chart that shows what the costs are. So if you're between 70 and 79, it's $125 a month. And if you're over 80, it does go up to $180 a month. for Panama, for health insurance that only covers you in Panama.
Okay.
So just
okay.
again, now if you're between 60 and 69, it's $102 a month.
Okay, that's very helpful. Now he would be concerned because he does have a heart condition, AFib, but it is controlled. Is there any reason he should be seriously concerned?
No, they may not exclude it at all if it's controlled. They may exclude it for the first year and say, if you don't have any problems after the first year, we'll insure you on the second year. And there's several different, there's two or three different companies that he could get insurance from. He could try all three of them and see which one says yes. Keeping in mind that even if he wasn't insured with insurance here in Panama that first year, he can always use the public health care system, which is super affordable. We did a conference call, I think it was in April or May, of a lady that came on my tour that lives in the beach areas in the Azuera, and she started having really bad stomach pains. And so she went to the public hospital, to the emergency room. They did emergency surgery. She was in the hospital for 6 days, and it was $150. So having an emergency here isn't going to break the bank. Another neighbor did have a heart attack, had to have stents put in. He was in the hospital for 10 days, and it was $895 with no insurance. So It's not like it is in the United States where it could bankrupt you if you don't have insurance and you have a medical problem.
Right, right. Okay, well, this was super helpful, Jackie, and I really appreciate your call and all the calls that you do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Next caller, area code 217.
Hi, Jackie. I've got some questions about the cost of the pension auto visa. And when we come down to visit, I think I heard someone ask a little bit about when you're down there, whether or not you get the pension auto visa while you're visiting. And then if you come back to the United States, I assume it takes a while to get that. So do you recommend doing that while you're down to visit and see where you maybe want to live and et cetera?
Well, there's not just one right answer to that. It depends on a lot of different situations. You might want to just come and check out Panama and make sure you even like it first before you go to the trouble of gathering up the documents and spending money on getting a visa. Or you could get all the documents together, come to Panama, and if you're going to be here for a while, then you can make arrangements to get a visa. Once you know that Panama, you say, yeah, I'd like to live here, then you could get it. So you could get it on that first visit if you're going to be here at least a couple of weeks. But you may want to just come and visit, make sure, check out several different areas, make sure you like Panama, and then go back and gather your documents and just work on getting your visa after you actually move to Panama. And It is a process. Let me tell you the three-step process. Initially, whenever you get your visa, you need to plan to be here about 7 days. And your attorney will have a lot of different meetings with immigration. You'll have to go to immigration, I think, 2 times now. They've changed the procedure just a little bit, only for about an hour each time. And you'll walk away with a temporary visa card. The temporary card is good for 6 months. That 6 months gives Panama time to check you out, make sure that all your documents are authentic and that everything is good. If you plan to leave the country after you get that temporary visa, you'll also need to get something called a multi-entry stamp. It's just a big stamp they put in your passport, and that allows you to leave the country while you're in process of getting, while you only have a temporary visa. If you're not planning to leave the country, you could bypass that, but it's only $50, so I would really recommend that you go ahead and get the multi-entry stamp. Sometime within that six-month time frame of when you get your temporary visa until it expires, usually about 3 or 4 months later, your attorney will call you and say your permanent visa is ready. So if you're in country, you can just go into immigration. You can get it. It literally takes an hour to get your permanent visa. If you're not here, then you just need to plan to come back to Panama before your temporary visa expires to pick up your permanent visa. Then once you get your permanent visa, immediately after that, your attorney will apply for your cédula. And a cédula is a national ID card. Everybody, even Panamanians, have an ID card. You have to show an ID card to vote. You show an ID card to get those pensionado discounts. You show an ID card for a lot of things here. And so your attorney will get that. And that usually you're going to get that about 30 days later. And it is possible for your attorney to just pick that up for you and send it to you if you're not going to be in country.
Okay, well, we'll probably come down for 2 months or up to the maximum of 3 months the first visit, just to, like you say, look around and really just determine where we want to be. So we're trying to figure out, do we need health insurance while we're on that visit? And do we need an international driver's license if we're going to drive a car and et cetera?
No. You can drive on your driver's license from the United States in Panama for 90 days. So you might plan to stay for 90 days because you can drive on your U.S. driver's license. They don't accept international driver's license. You might want to get traveler's insurance. Like I said earlier today, I'm working on an article on getting traveler's insurance. It's not very much. It's like $60 will cover you for 3 months. And it's not just if you have a medical emergency, but it's if, you know, you get COVID, if your flight is delayed, if your luggage is lost. It covers all kinds of different things. If your flight's supposed to come in on Monday and it's delayed and it doesn't come in on Tuesday and your Airbnb won't give you a refund, it'll cover things like that. So it's a good idea to get traveler's insurance when you're coming here. You can always use the public health care system. You can just go see any doctor here in their private office, and it's about $15. So any kind of, if you get a sinus infection or you break your arm or any of those things, it's not going to break the bank here in Panama.
So if you get the traveler's insurance, do you help us with applying for that? And you say that's for like 6 months for $60? Or
it's for 3 months for $60. I'm working on an article on that. It should be ready on Monday when I send it out. Then you'll have some recommendations on different companies, and you can just contact them directly to get some quotes. But I'd highly recommend, especially now, airlines are canceling flights or delaying flights, and you know, if one little thing gets canceled at the beginning of the trip, it has a domino effect and causes problems with the whole trip. Maybe you have a car that's rented or you have Airbnb that's rented. So it's a good idea to get the traveler's insurance that'll cover those things. Thanks for your call. Next caller is Craig.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks a lot for all that you do and all the great information that you give us.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to do it.
I have a couple of questions. One is, you know, what we're looking forward to when we come down there and we move to Panama to have an active social life. And I know in watching some of your videos that sounds like that's absolutely readily available. But a lot of that was pre-pandemic. What does that look like now during the pandemic?
So during the pandemic, everything's pretty much back to normal now. We do have a curfew from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. But in some of the restaurants, they don't have 100% capacity, maybe only 50% capacity. We don't have live music yet, so there's not that kind of social life, but there's still people getting together for happy hours and people playing golf and people walking on the beach and people going boating and doing all those kind of things. So the only thing that really hasn't come back yet is the live music, but I anticipate that will probably by the end of this month.
Okay, super, super, fantastic. And then my next question has to do with the driver's license. We actually have our Friendly Nations visa, and we've had it for a while. How do we get a driver's license, and is that 90-day period? Did that start when we got our Friendly Nations visa, and now when we go down there, we would not be able to drive?
Well, this is the situation. When you got your Friendly Nation visa, your attorney should have helped you get your driver's license right away because you're supposed to get it right after you get your license. So this is what I would recommend is that you, when you get here, you're going to need to get your current driver's license authenticated at the U.S. Embassy or Canadian Embassy, whichever country you're from, their embassy. And then that'll be re-authenticated. Then you can go and they'll just do a vision test and a hearing test. You also have to do a blood test because they put your blood type on your driver's license here. So the whole process only takes about an hour. and then you'll walk away with a driver's license, a Panamanian driver's license. It's good for 4 years until you turn 70, and then it's only it has to be renewed every 2 years after that.
Okay, fantastic. Oh, my wife has, she wanted me to ask one last question. She has hearing aids. What do you know the cost of hearing aids in Panama?
I'm sorry, I know there's places that have hearing aids here, but I have no idea what the costs are.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Our next caller is Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. I got two quick questions for you. Number one, can I open a woman's clinic that does not prescribe any kind of pills or inject or cut or break the skin in any way? And can I own this clinic and hire Panamanian estheticians?
Yes. If you have a friendly nations visa, well, even with a pensionado visa, you can own a business. With a pensionado visa, you just can't ever work in it. But yes, you can own that business, and you can hire Panamanians. They'll be lined up to go to work for you.
Wonderful. And a second business that I own, can I have a business that calls back to the United States exclusively, and all the earnings are made from the state? And then can I hire expats to help me with that?
You can't hire an expat to work for you unless they have a work permit. You're not supposed to work in Panama unless you have a work permit. But, you know, there's a lot of Panamanians that speak fluent English that you could hire them.
Oh, okay. But if the expat got a work permit, then they could as well, right?
They could as well, right.
All right, very good. I thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you for calling in. Next caller, area code 772.
Hi, Jackie. This is Jan in Florida. My husband,
Hi.
Glenn, and I. Hey, my husband Glenn and I are excited to be on the January tour. We were picked as a backup and very thrilled about it. And my question is, we're going to spend a little time ahead of the tour starting and after the tour ending. I was wondering about the town of Santiago, going there and checking it out, other towns as well, but wondering what kind of expat support is there, what kind of English-speaking people might be in Santiago as far as shopping.
None. Yeah, there's like three expats in Santiago, and not too many people speak English there.
Okay, so I know that people from the West.
But it's a really nice town. It'll force you to learn Spanish real fast.
I'm sure it will. I understand that some people on the west coast of the Azuero Peninsula have to go there for shopping, and so I was trying to be prepared.
Yeah, but there's just not. I used to know someone that lived there, but he moved away because he said he just wanted to be around some people that spoke English every once in a while.
I bet. The other question I had is about Spanish schools, short-term courses while we might be there, Boquete or elsewhere.
Yep, there's Spanish schools throughout the country. But one of the things you might also consider is there's some really good tutors that they're not very much. They're like $12 for an hour and a half. And they teach you exactly the things that you want to learn. They teach you at your level, but they'll push you. So sometimes being one-on-one with a private tutor, you learn a little bit faster than if you're in a class where there might be someone that's way advanced and someone that's way behind. So sometimes a private teacher is better. Next caller, area code 707.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you so much for all you do. Much appreciated. This is Luba. I had a couple of questions that probably have been answered before, but the typical length of the rainy season, can you tell me what that looks like?
When the rainy season of rainy season officially starts about the middle of April, and it officially ends in the first week in December. That's the whole rainy season. The only time that we really get a lot of rain, though, is October and November. And we're getting way more rain this November than we normally would. Usually, like in April, May, and June, you might get rain once or twice a week in the late afternoon, starting about 6 o'clock. And then as you go into July and August, it might rain three times a week in the late afternoon, starting about 6 o'clock. As you get into September, it might be raining three or four times a week and starting a little bit earlier in the day, like at 3 or 4 o'clock. And then as you get into October and November, almost always you wake up to blue skies and sunshine in the morning, except when there's a hurricane close by, like we've had this last week. But then it'll start raining at usually 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So you just rearrange your schedule during the rainy season, try to get everything done before 3 o'clock. So you're not out running around in it.
Good. Thank you. That's very helpful. I lived in Ireland and don't do well with rain or gray skies all the time. So the weather.
I know. That's it. Yeah. Last week we had rain every day last week because that hurricane was just sitting. We were getting the rain from it and gray skies. I would wake up to gray skies. I'd go to bed and there was still cloudy. It's depressing. But if you can wake up in the morning and it's blue skies and sunshine and the birds are singing, if you can start your day out like that, then it doesn't matter if it rains in the late afternoon, so long as I get that sunshine in the morning. Next caller is Michael. Go ahead. Hello, I've unmuted your line. I'm going to come back to you. Maybe you muted it yourself. I'll be back with you in just a minute. Next caller, area code 719.
Hi, Jackie. This is Ross and Manny from Pueblo, Colorado. We bought your online guide. And we have two questions. We're zeroing in on the Boquete area as the preferred area where we would like to explore and live. But we are also avid boaters, and we would like to know if there are any marinas, like in the Boca Chica area, where we could maybe keep a sailboat and go cruising around the islands there. And the other question is, I know you know boat builders, but do you also know boat brokers? Because I know that there are a lot of sailboats going through the canal, and some sailors get tired, and boats come up for sale.
Yes, so there's actually a marina just south of David in the little town of Pedregal, and there's some big boats and little boats there. There's also a small
boat. Can you spell that name, please?
Pedregal, P-E-D-R-E-G-A-L. There's also a small marina in Boca Chica. It's much, much smaller than the one in Pedregal. Pedregal is the bigger one in the area.
Okay.
And it's also much closer than going all the way to Boca Chica. You could literally be there from Boquete in about 40 minutes. So it's not very far away.
Great.
And then in Bocas del Toro, there's some boat brokers over there. And also there's some of the different fishing lodges. They know boaters and they know who has boats to sell. So you could contact some of the fishing lodges, like Hooked on Panama and the other one is, I don't remember, something about Panama Reeling or something like that. Do a search for fishing lodges or fishing resorts in Panama, and you'll see a list of them, and they know about people that have boats to sell, too.
Yeah. How about sailing boats? That's more our...
They have all that here.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's also boat brokers in Panama City, and there's multiple marinas in the Panama City area, and it wouldn't take much to get the boat from Panama City over to Pedregal. So you're going to be able to get that boat, and you'll be close to it, no problem. Next caller, area code 713.
Hello. How you doing, Jackie?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
I just learned about you recently, 2 days ago, but it's been a blessing already. I had a couple of questions for you. You said that you had some protected areas like physicians and maybe lawyers that you cannot work there. But I'm a radiologist and I read online a lot. So am I able to read online still for the states? I'll still be reading papers from the states.
If it's an online thing, then you'd be able to do it no problem. You would just have a hard time getting a job in a hospital as a radiologist in the hospital, but you wouldn't have any problem at all. There's also plenty of online opportunities from what I understand for that too.
Oh yeah, because that's what I do most of the time now. I read online. I read from home. So I thought that
home could be right here in Panama.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So that's not covered under that. That's good to know. My other question is that we have 11-year-old. Can you tell me a little bit more about the international schools?
So the international schools, they're throughout the country, and the price ranges are all over the place. The ones that are in Panama City, some of those are very, very expensive. You even have to pay a fee just to get in. I know there's one in Vulcan that people say is excellent. It's $75 a month for a bilingual school. There's one that's just south of Boquete that's $165 a month. They have, I think, 3 international schools in David, 5 in the Coronado area. There's one in Chitre. There's probably 50 of them that are in Panama City. We do have in our online Panama relocation guide, if you look under directories, we have a list of the international schools and their contact information there.
Okay. Yeah, we're interested in the Boquete area.
Okay. The other thing I would recommend. I also recommend, I don't know if you've seen our YouTube channel or not, but check out our YouTube channel. About a month ago, we did an interview with a young man that his name is Price, and he came on the tour with his mom and dad about 6 years ago when he was 10, and then they moved here when he was 11. He'll be 17 next month, and he talks about growing up in Panama, what it's like to grow up in Panama. So I'm sure that that would be of interest to you and to your child.
Oh, yeah, because we're concerned about him being by himself, because it sounds in a morbid time.
In Boquete, there are kids everywhere. He'll have plenty of people, and if he hooks up with Price, he'll introduce him. He'll have more friends in Panama in the first week than he probably has where he lives right now.
Okay, all right, that's good to know. You've been very helpful. We're going to get that guy pretty soon. Thank you.
You're welcome, and you can always send us an email anytime if you have other questions, or just call our office at 972-496-4500. I know some of you are a little bit shy about asking your question. We're everybody that's on this phone call. We got 450 people on the call, and you might be shy about asking your question. If that's the case, you can always send us an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours, and we'll get back to you right away or call you if we need to do that to answer your questions that you have. It's a huge decision. It's a big decision to move to another country. For me, it was even a big decision, even though I'd lived in Germany and lived in Puerto Rico and lived in the United States before, but it was just a whole new thing. So I know that it just helps to get answers to your questions and know you've got somebody that's going to be right there to hold your hand through the whole process when you're first getting here. Just the little things like, where did I get my haircut, or where do I get this kind of dog food, or where do you get your, where's the best place to get a hair dryer? All those little things where whatever your questions are, we're going to be here to help you. Next caller is Claude. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. My name is Claude. We have a couple of cockatoos that we would like to bring with us to Panama. Do you know anything about the procedure or how much bigger a problem it is to bring parrots to Panama?
To bring parrots to Panama?
Yes.
I really don't know. I know that you can, but I don't know what the rules and procedures are for that, but I can tell you who does. There's a gentleman named Jose Sanchez. His website is goldenfrog.net.
Golden.
And he is the expert, goldenfrog.net.
Okay.
And he's an expert at bringing dogs and cats and horses and birds and snakes and everything else into the country.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, my wife doesn't want to leave the cockatoos behind if we go.
Well, then bring them. Bring them with you.
Yes,
yeah, I know you can't. I know other people that have done it. I know you can, but I'm afraid I don't know the exact procedure for that one.
Okay. Okay. What is his name again, please?
His name is Jose Sanchez, and his website is goldenfrog.net.
I'll contact him directly. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you for doing
this. You're welcome. Thanks for your question. Next caller, 503.
Hi, area code. Greg in Oregon. I need, you know, the COVID has got the State Department messed up for getting my FBI report apostille.
Oh, and well, let me tell you, there's a simple solution to that. Forget the darn apostille, because the State Department's taken like 2 months to get the apostille. So instead of that, you can send your FBI report to one of the Panamanian consulates. There may be one right in your town that you can walk it in. And in about 30 minutes, you can get an authentication instead on your FBI report. But it just takes too long to get the apostille right now. So we recommend just get the apostille. I mean, don't get the apostille. Get the authentication.
Authentication, is that like a notary or... Is it different?
No, it's a different level of a notary, and it can only be done at the Panamanian consulate that's closest to you, or you can send it to the Panamanian consulate in Washington, D.C. They have them in Los Angeles. They have them in Houston. They have them in Philadelphia, but any of the Panamanian consulates, if you do a Google search for Panamanian consulate, and then you can see where they all are and just contact. You can mail it in or you can walk it in, either way. But you'll literally have it the same day.
Okay, great. That really helped. I've been sweating that. I've been wanting to go for a month in January and then get everything moving, and I'm kind of twiddling my thumbs here about this apostille thing. So I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Yep, just any Panamanian consulate can do what they call an authentication. And not just for your FBI report, but for your Social Security letter or marriage certificates and other things like that. They can authenticate all the, and the pet, if you're bringing pets, they can authenticate all those documents.
Okay. I got that written down here. Thank you so much for the help.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. Next caller is Jason. Jason, your line's been unmuted. Go ahead. By the way, if anybody has a question for me, just press *6 and you'll be put in line to ask a question. I plan to stay on the line till we get through all these questions. Jason, you have a question? Buster. My cat just came in here. Buster, let me know he's in. Okay, next question is area code 214. You're wet. Hello? Oh, we lost that one. Next caller is Meg. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Meg from California. We came
Hi.
On. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Awesome. My husband, Lyle, and I came on your tour in 2017. We got our pensionada visas in 2018. And I'm coming back on Tuesday.
I know. That's exciting.
I'm so excited. Yes.
Yep.
Okay, so one question is a real question, and the other one you'll need a crystal ball. The real question is, does it make sense for me to get my cedula now? I will be in the country about 10 days this trip and return in June.
Yes, go ahead and get it if you can.
Okay. All right, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure. By the way, your advice on using the Panamanian consulate for apostilling stuff is wonderful. I got mine back in 3 weeks. No problem.
Yeah, it's real fast.
Okay, the crystal ball is, do you have any sense that Panama is going to extend the quarantine or the lockdown or anything at this time? Because the U.S. is a
mess. Well, we don't. Yeah, we don't really have a lockdown at all in Panama. All we have is a quarantine that's from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. You can't be out.
Okay.
But all the other rest of the time, you know, all that we can go out any day we want to, any time we want to. We just have to be home by 11 p.m. until 5 a.m.
Okay.
But there's no restrictions on, well, the gyms are not open. I think movie theaters are at 50%. Some restaurants are at 50%. So, you know, there's a few restrictions, but nothing that's going to doesn't interfere with your life.
Okay. So unlike the U.S., Panama has it under control and they're holding steady right now.
They have it under control. They're holding steady. They monitor it very, very closely. They're doing about 6,000 tests a day. We're still getting positive cases. Many of those are... have no symptoms, but they still require that they quarantine for 14 days. So they're Panama, you know, it's been a serious lockdown when it first started, a very serious lockdown when it first started. But because they did that, it's all under control here.
Okay.
Really, it just seems like life is normal here, except everybody's wearing a mask. And you are required to wear a mask in public. But other than that, there's just, you can do anything that I could have done before the pandemic.
That sounds awesome. By the way, I'm going to have to get my COVID test at the airport there because I could not find a place in Central California to get the rapid COVID test done. Isn't that something? Could not find a place.
Yeah. If you're close to San Francisco, I know a place there where you can get your results in 15 minutes.
I go the other way. I'm leaving out of LAX, Los Angeles on Monday night. So I
and you know some of the some of the airports have the rapid test right at the airport. So you might check and see if LAX has the rapid test there. I think I published a list of airports that are doing the rapid test, and I think that you can get it right there at LAX. You'd have to check. Next caller, area code 917.
Jackie, good evening. This is Warren from New York.
Thank you for calling in.
You're very welcome. Thank you for what you do. So I was fortunately able to get on your December 11th tour, and I just had a question regarding, you know, what are your plans as far as the amount of people on the bus, and how are you going to handle that, and how are the hotels that we'll be staying, and how are they going to be handling, you know, the guests?
So all the hotels are at less than 50% capacity. We have authorization I have a 40-passenger bus, and I have authorization from Mensa that I could have 25 people on that bus, but I chose not to do that. We're going to have about 15 people on the bus.
Oh, that's good. Okay, great.
Yeah,
and
so there's plenty of room for social distancing. And all the places where we'll be eating, I've reserved the whole restaurant so we can spread out in the restaurants. And all the hotels will be spreading out there also. So we had to get permission from the health department to be able to do tours. And part of that was they had to inspect the bus, inspect our ventilation system, inspect our protocols and what we'll do to protect you while you're here, plus go by their guidelines on everything. So we followed the rules.
And now, just as far as, you know, clothing is concerned, I was just planning on bringing shorts and maybe one pair of decent pants and shirts. And a bathing suit, but that's all I would need. Do you suggest I bring a jacket or anything like that?
I suggest you bring a light jacket, like a windbreaker, because in the evenings it can get a little bit chilly in Boquete or even in other places. So you might want to just bring a light jacket, very, very lightweight jacket. Also, make sure that you don't just bring flip-flops or sandals, but bring some tennis shoes or some kind of a sturdy shoe also, and it'll be a lot safer that way. Next caller is area code 850.
Hey, Jackie. Thank you for your time this evening. I have two questions for you. My first one is I understand the requirements may be tightening up for the Friendly Nations visa. And do you have any idea when those restrictions could go into effect?
So the latest information that I have from some of the different attorneys that I work with is that there's a group of immigration attorneys have requested a meeting with the immigration director. And they don't have that date yet on when that meeting is going to be. They say it'll be before the end of the year. The immigration director said they won't make any changes until they've had that meeting. The objective of the immigration attorneys is to say that they have a lot of people that have sold their house, they've sold everything they own, they're planning to move here, and then the pandemic hit. And so their life, you know, they just couldn't get here. They would have gotten the Friendly Nation visa. So they're requesting that they wait until either the pandemic's over, preferably, or at the very least, wait at least a year before they make any changes to give people that were already planning to move down here an opportunity to get that Friendly Nation visa before any changes are made.
Okay.
But if there's any changes that are made at all, if the immigration director says, nope, we're just going to do it, they're not going to happen probably till maybe April or May of next year. Hopefully he'll listen to all these attorneys and they will just kill the deal and not make any changes at all, or at the very least give people at least a year.
Let's hope so. That would be good. Thank you. My other question is about the certificate of good health that is required when submitting a residency application. And I was wondering, how restrictive is that? Is that more of an infectious disease screening, or would someone who has had a hip replacement and walks with a cane and is a cancer survivor
no.
on blood pressure medication, would any of that be
first
an issue?
First of all, you have to get that health thing done here in Panama by a Panamanian doctor. Sometimes attorneys are able to get that health certificate just before you even get here, so you never even actually see the doctor. They'll just ask you, do you have any infectious disease? And you say no. They say, okay, so you got the health certificate. Some attorneys will actually have you go visit a doctor and pay the $10, and they'll ask you two or three questions, and it's mostly about infectious diseases.
Okay.
It's not about
great.
If you had cancer, hip replacement, cataracts, or any of those that other stuff.
Okay, I didn't think so, but I wanted to confirm. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next caller is Trevor.
Hi, Jackie. My name is Trevor. Thank you, first of all, like everybody else has said, for all that you do to provide this information to us. So very much appreciated.
You're welcome.
Thanks. I had a question about the Friendly Nations visa, but the gentleman just before this asked that, so I just have one question for you. I have two young adult boys, so they're 20 and 18, and I'm just wondering would they be able to work down there, and what is, if you have some suggestions on what life is like for a young man down there, I'd appreciate that.
So definitely they could work down here. They'd have to get the proper visa so they could get a work permit, and then they would be able to work down here. And I do know expat teenagers and 20-year-olds that are working here. Some of them work at like a surf shop. Some of them, it depends on what their interests are. I know one that works at he does drone videos. He works for a company that does drone videos, and they do photography for real estate that's for sale. And he's really developing his skills, so he's going to be able to go off and do his own thing after a while. Some people get a job with a company, but the chances of that, if it's outside of Panama City, are going to be slim to nothing. So, but in Panama City, depending on what their skill set is, they may be able to get a job in Panama City. But most of it's just working at hostels, working at hotels, working at restaurants, not so much. If they have skills of being a chef, they could get a job as a chef. So there's all kinds of opportunities. The other thing that you should go to my website, PanamaRelocationTours.com. At the very bottom on the right-hand side, there's a link to a book called Fund, F-U-N-D, Your Freedom Overseas. And then that's a free book. And it has a lot of information about how you can make money when you move to Panama without actually getting a job. So it has to do with online businesses. So that's something that your children might want to get involved in. You know, they could even teach English to Asian countries and make about $25 an hour doing that and have a very flexible schedule. so that they have most of the day to themselves and they're not punching a time clock. Look at that. Get that book. Share it with your children, and that'll give them some ideas of some online opportunities that are available for them too.
Okay, and there's no problem with them traveling there. Thank you for that, by the way. There's no problems with them traveling there with us, right? With without a job or anything like that, or no restrictions.
Nope, no problems at all.
Okay.
Yep. If it's a minor that's traveling with only one of the parents, they have to have a letter from the other parent that says it's okay for them to be traveling. Mm-hmm. But if they're over 18 years old, then no problem at all. Or if they're traveling with you, with you, and if you're married, then there's no problem at all.
Okay, great. Jackie, thank you very much again. That answered my question. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 678. Twyla, go ahead.
Hey, Jackie.
How are you this weekend?
I'm doing okay. We got some of that rain. I'm a driver for an Eat Street restaurant delivery, and I had to do driving in the rain this morning. No fun. But the reason I wanted to ask is you had that lady on the other day. You said she was the shopper.
Yes.
And there's one item that I'm concerned that I'm hoping I can get down there is I drink about 2 to 3 cases of the Lipton sugar-free tea because I'm diabetic, and I drink about 2 to 3 cases a week. I wanted to find out, how do I get in touch with her so she could see if they have that down there?
Her name is Julie, and her website is simplifypanama.com.
Simplifypanama.com. Okay, I'll put that down and get a message to her.
Okay.
So, great. Yeah, because I've got a my doctor wants me to stay with the sugar-free tea, so.
Yeah, and I've seen that. I think I've seen that at Price Mart. I don't know because I usually just make my own tea, but I think I've seen that at Price Mart. But Julie will know for sure. She's the shopper. Next caller is Debbie. Go ahead. Debbie, I've unmuted your line. Go ahead. I'm going to go on to the next caller. Wait just a second. Hold on.
Jackie?
There you are. Yeah, your line was muted. You'd muted your line, but I saw that, so I got it unmuted. Go ahead.
Yep. Okay, question. My husband and I, we live in New Orleans. We have been to Panama. We went out on one of the boats, even with one of the guys, and saw a sunset. It was absolutely beautiful down in the Boca Chica area. Our question is, though, if we were to come down and say we wanted to buy our own boat as well, how can we go and fish in the waters of Panama? Are we able to fish down there?
Yep, no fishing license required.
Awesome. Okay, because we was almost afraid or, you know, wondering if we had to do like a charter fishing
You can go out in your own boat and go fishing. You don't even need a fishing license.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, wonderful.
I can tell you that at least maybe the first couple times you might want to go out with somebody else and either a panga or someplace because they'll know exactly where to go, and then you'll know the secret sweet spot, and then you can go in your own boat.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 707.
Hi, Jackie. It's Luba. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks for calling in.
So I know you had addressed lots of questions around purchasing cars and that sort of thing, but if one were to live in or very near Boquete, could one not have a car and just use buses, or I don't know if they even have Uber and Lyft kind of services there, but can one get by without a car?
Absolutely. If you live close, even if you didn't live real close to town, if you just stand by the street close to your house, there's going to be a taxi go by every 10 minutes. And there's buses that go by like every 30 minutes. It's $1 like to go for a 10-minute ride to get from my house into downtown Boquete, and it only costs $1 to take that bus. And then even if you wanted to go into David, it's $1.75 to take the bus from Boquete into David and to take it back for other shopping opportunities. So absolutely you can get by without a car. Next, by the way, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 more callers, everybody. Thanks for hanging in with me tonight. Mike is my next one. Go right ahead. Mike, I've unmuted your line. Go ahead. I'm going to come back to you in a little bit. Now I'm going to Pamela. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm planning a trip in January, and I wanted to know how the current situation in the United States is affecting the real estate market down there, and as well as flights down there. I would be flying either probably out of Tampa and looking at Phuket and mostly Phuket. How is, are you experiencing any shortages because of people wanting to leave the U.S.? Or are things pretty stable?
No, and part of the reason is, you know, between March when Panama shut down their borders and October the 12th, a lot of rental properties just sat on, you couldn't rent. They couldn't rent them, so they just sat on the market. So there was a lot of inventory to choose from when people first started coming down the middle of October. But every day, just today, I got someone sent me an information about 5 new rental properties, and I got information about a house-sitting opportunity in Boquete, too. So, no, there's always going to be plenty of rentals available.
Okay. I had asked you a question by email about obtaining prescribed pain medications, if you remember.
I don't know. I get that question all the time, and I just don't know the answer to it yet. I have to make an appointment or go see a doctor to get that information. With our online Panama relocation guide, we do have some information about a pharmacy that the owner of the pharmacy has allows people that have purchased that to contact him, and he can let you know what's available, what's not available, and what they can get or as an alternative, maybe if the exact brand that you want isn't available.
Are there pain management doctors in the Boquete area?
No.
Okay. So mm-mm. You have to go to David or to Panama City?
I don't even know that there's any pain management doctors in David. Might be just Panama City. I just don't know about pain management doctors.
Okay.
But I know all the doctors. I know every one of the doctors in Boquete, and none of them specialize in pain management.
Okay. Oh, I had one more question. Now I'm trying to think of what it was. Thank you so much for everything you do. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. If you think of that question later, just shoot us an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours.
I sure will. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Pamela. Next caller is area code 216.
Hi, Jackie. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thank you so much for this call. I'm just beginning to tune in to them whenever they're available. My concerns are about aging in Panama. Do you have any type of facilities like nursing homes or rehabilitation facilities? If we're living
they
there
do have,
and we reach a... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they do have assisted living facilities here. There's not as prevalent as they are in North America, but they're certainly available. I actually just 2 weeks ago, I went and saw a rental property that the owner of it is 89 years old, and he's come down with dementia. Some days he's fine, some days he's not. His son wants to move him back to Ohio, and he said, no way, I'm not leaving Panama. So he's moving into an assisted living facility in Dolega, which is about 15 minutes south of Panama, and he has his own private room, private bath, 3 meals a day is $750 a month.
$750 a month?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. That's not bad.
There's one in David. I know there's some. There's the ones in Panama City are a little bit more. They're like $1,500 a month. But that's mm-hmm. still substantially less than what she would pay in the U.S.
That's reassuring. I wonder about mm-hmm. aging, and if I'm married now, but if one of us, you know, naturally one of us will probably precede the other in debt, and then how do we manage?
Well, the other thing that's available besides assisted living, some people want to stay in their home, is you also have home health care that's readily available. And you might, and I don't know people that do home health care, you might start out with they just come 2 or 3 days a week to help with a few things. Then it might go into 5 days a week. Then it might even be that they become a live-in. And a live-in home health care registered nurse is going to be about $800 to $900 a month. Part-time is $400 a month. So that's another option also, is to transition into starting out with just a little bit of help with different things with someone that's a certified home health care nurse. And then if necessary, you could upgrade to the assisted living or nursing home. Next caller is Jim in Maryland.
Hey, Jackie. Thanks a lot for everything. I was wondering about passport versus citizenship. Is there a means of getting a dual passport? I know Panama does not technically recognize dual citizenship, but once you got a visa and did the residency requirement, I guess is 5 years, would you be able to get a passport without actually applying for Panamanian citizenship?
No. You have to apply for citizenship and passport, and Panama doesn't care if you have if you're a citizen of another country. You do make an oath to Panama, but they're not going to turn in a list of, oh, all these people got a passport this month. They don't do that. So I know a lot of people here that have a Panamanian passport and a U.S. passport, Panamanian passport and a Canadian passport, or maybe even a European passport thrown in there. So you can do that. 5 years after you get your permanent visa, then you can apply for citizenship and a passport in Panama. By the way, that application for the citizenship and the passport is only $600. So it's affordable, too. Next caller is Jason. Jason, I've unmuted your line. Are you mute? You're not muted on my end. Are you muted on your side? I don't know why I'm not able to hear you. Jason, just send your email to info@PanamaRelocationTours with your question. I'm so sorry I wasn't able to hear you on the call. And for our final caller is Anthony. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Thank you for unmuting me. I just want to thank you for your greenhouse video. It was awesome.
You're welcome.
And
I love my grocery store.
Yes, it was spectacular. You got a great neighbor there. My question today is, there's been a lot of rain and flooding and roads washed out. I've heard deaths. Not a good situation. As a future prudent expat of Panama, if we're going to look at property, whether it's a rental or purchase, just wondered if it'd be good to somehow have a reference for areas where roads have been washed out, and you're better able to evaluate or keep track of you know, arroyas and things like that that could pose problems or inconveniences in the future, especially if you're traveling there during the dry season.
Well, you know, first of all, having two hurricanes that hit Nicaragua back-to-back, or even one hurricane that hits Nicaragua, it's rare. It hasn't happened in the whole time that I've been here. So what the rains that we're getting right now, it's very, very, very unusual. It's not a common thing. The areas that were most affected this time was the far western Panama and the Chiriqui province, but only the towns of Cerro Punta and Bambito. Volcan didn't get hardly any damage at all, just rain. But the landslides, the roads washed out and things like that primarily happened in Cerro Punta and Bambito. The road between Gualaca and Chiriqui Grande, it was also washed out, but you know, in the actual towns like Boquete and David, there wasn't any damage. It was just we had a lot of rain. I did get a roof leak at my house, but other than that, we just haven't really had a lot of damage.
Good to know. It sounded a lot worse from the report I heard.
Yeah, well, you know, there. I think 17 people have died. There's still about 17 people that are missing. In the Sarapunta area, it's been devastating. A lot of homes were completely destroyed. There were landslides. You might have seen the videos of mudslide just washing down the main street very, very quickly. So there's been substantial damage in Sarapunta and Bambicho, but the rest of the country, not so much.
And so none of the rivers in Boquete or between Boquete and David were a big issue in terms of, going over the banks, water going over the banks?
No. Okay. No, I think it was in 2007 they had a pretty big flood because the water did go over the banks in the Caldera River that runs right through the middle of Boquete. And they had a bridge that washed out because of it also, because of a bunch of logs that came through. And that bridge was replaced. They also dredged the river and they put big, huge rock banks on the side of it so that that wouldn't happen again. The river certainly got very full, but it didn't go over the banks at all. It wasn't even close to going over the banks. So we did have one more person that snuck in to ask a question. Harmon, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jackie. This is George and Gretchen from Florida. I have two questions to ask you. The first one is, if you're flying in your pets, we have doggies, you fly them in, do they have to be impounded for any amount of time, or can you take them with you right away when you land in Panama? And the second
they have is, they have what they let me answer that one first. They have what they call a home quarantine, and it's just a little certificate that you fill out that says you're going to keep your pets in your yard for the first 40 days when you get there. Of course, you're going to keep it in your yard the whole time that you're here, but it's called a home quarantine. So they're not going to. The only difference is if you're bringing a horse. If you bring a horse, then it has to have a 7-day quarantine at a veterinarian's office in Panama City. But dogs and cats and things like that, you can take them home with you.
Okay, very good. That makes it very easy, because I'm sure it's a hassle just to get them into the country, you know, from flying mm-hmm. them. Next question, last question. I'm a diabetic. Do they have diet sodas there, like Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke, that kind of thing?
Yes. Yep, they do. Coke Zero, they have all that stuff here.
Oh, okay. The reason why I asked is because I went to the Philippines a couple of years ago, and they didn't have nothing there. Do you have
now, we
a
have,
my wife has a question.
Wait. Okay, go ahead.
Do you ever hear of anybody driving from the States down to Panama?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Do you ever hear of anybody driving from the States into Panama?
So I do know of three people that have done that. They all swore to God that they'd never do that again. But that was all before the pandemic. I think in the middle of this pandemic, until it's completely eradicated, it would be irresponsible to do that because every single country that you drive through is going to have their own COVID rules, which might be that you have to have a COVID test 48 hours before you hit their border. And it'd be very hard to do if you're driving in Mexico and you want to go into Honduras, or you want to go into Nicaragua, or you want to go to Costa Rica. Every one of them has different rules. So I would think it would be impossible to make that drive during a pandemic. So thank you so much for your questions, everybody. I'm sorry that the call lasted a little bit long, but I wanted to make sure we got all the questions answered today. The replay will be available next week. Once again, if you have any other questions, you can always send us an email to info@panamarelocationtours.com or call our office at 972-496-4500. We're here to help you get moved to Panama.